Hey, this morning, you probably are like, where's Pastor Craig? Pastor Craig is, he's still not feeling really great, so continue to pray for him. And so he asked me to hop up here and talk about something that you all want to hear me talk about. We're going to talk about technology. All right, we're going to talk about technology. We are in the middle of a series. Actually, we're at the tail end of a series right now called You Asked For It. And so you all should be on the edge of your seats because you asked for this. You asked for this. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the just plain ugly about technology today and this morning. We're going to get started. I want to start with the story. So imagine for me, for just a second, imagine that the year is 1940. The most popular songs are Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree, and this was also the year that I'll Be Home for Christmas was recorded. Many women had left traditional roles in the home to go work in factories to fill the void that was left by the male workforce going to war. And it's the year that penicillin started to become mass-produced to be shipped to treat infections. The Battle of Stalingrad was won by the Soviet Union, and the invasion of Italy took place by the Allied forces in Europe. In the Pacific, the Japanese Empire suffered a major defeat at Guadalcanal. There were advancements in medicine, society, and technology. One of the leading companies in technological advancement, IBM, had been working hard to make strides to advance military achievement for the Allies by developing technologies that included punch card machines, tabulating machines, artillery trajectory calculations, and electronic computing. But even as IBM led the industry in technology at that time, the chairman of IBM, Thomas Watson, infamously stated that he thought there'd probably only ever be a world market for maybe 5 computers. Let that sink in for a second. Thomas Watson was a smart guy. But he missed the mark on that one, right? He missed the mark completely. Hasn't the world changed since then? Yeah, honestly, what his prediction really highlights is not just how inaccurate experts in technology have been able to predict advancements in the field, but also how quickly technology has just evolved. It just has evolved incredibly. Like, imagine, it's pretty unreal that we've gone from a computer like this that you'll see on the screen that fills up an entire room, right? Like an entire room devoted to one computer. That now we each have these little supercomputers that fit in our pockets that we carry around every day that pretty much give us the world at our fingertips. And the time span of that advancement is a short 81 years. From the moment he said that to now and to today is 81 years. We've gone from that to supercomputers in our pockets. It's wild. But you know, with the speed of advancement like that, there is inevitably some negative impacts. While all of the achievements that we've been able to make as a society, as culture, through the world of technology, all of the benefits and all of the positive things, there is for sure a negative side of the technological advancements that we've seen. And so I just want to list a few of them. These will not be revolutionary to you, all right? You probably have heard these things before. But just to kind of bring them out and let's talk about them a little bit, some of the negatives behind the technology advancements that we've experienced in the last 81 years is mental health. JAMA psychiatry researchers have found that higher social media usage is associated with increased rates of anxiety and depression among adolescents. One study indicated that adolescents who spend more than 3 hours a day on social media may be at a higher risk for mental health issues. A study from Pew Research found that heavy social media users reported feeling lonelier than those who engaged less frequently. And then about 40% of adults reported feeling lonely. And what was the source that they cited? It was the increased use of technology was what was the contributing factor. Now let's talk about sleep tracking, right? Sleep tracking. Excessive screen time, especially before bed, can lead to sleep disturbances. Studies have found that adolescents who engage in excessive screen time are more likely to experience sleep problems, which are closely linked to mental health issues. Online aggression. According to the Cyberbullying Research Center, about 36% of students have experienced cyberbullying, which can lead to increased feelings of anxiety, depression, and loneliness. And then let's talk about this one for a second. Pornography. Before the internet, access to pornography was limited to physical media like magazines and VHS tapes. Some of you are like, what in the world are VHS tapes, right? Well, there's no time to explain. The advent of the internet in the 1990s opened up a vast array of content, making it easily accessible to a much wider audience. The rise of smartphones and mobile internet access has also contributed to increased consumption, with studies showing that a significant portion of users access pornography via mobile devices. This has particularly affected a younger demographic. It's wild to me, like when I was growing up, people would talk about technology and they would talk about pornography, you know, and the thought that was portrayed was somebody late at night in front of a computer screen and they're up late at night in front of the computer screen because everybody else is in bed and that's the time that they're using to view pornography. But now we have all these things in our pockets that at any point in time, it doesn't have to be when everybody else is in bed or asleep. It can be any time that we're able to get on an app, get on anything. This is not in my notes. And so this is just for free. I saw this the other day. It was maybe timely. Maybe it was the Lord. But I saw this before I knew I was going to be preaching this message. And I'm like, oh, this is the moment. Okay. Hey, if your explore page on Instagram is a thirst trap, you probably need to unfollow some things because people don't think of pornography. Some of you are like, I have no idea what he just said, but some of you do. Some of us do. We know that, right? If it's a thirst trap, if it's a place where you go and you are just instantly tempted to have thoughts that are impure, you need to unfollow some things. You need to unfollow some people, right? Pornography isn't just viewed on a web browser. There's apps. There's social media apps. There's all sorts of things. All right, now I'm going to get off of that, and I'm going to keep moving. But I just felt like I needed to say that this morning. And these are just really honestly a few of the obvious impacts, negative impacts that technology has had on us as a culture and as a society over the last, I would say, 81 years. As technology has advanced, these are just a few of the ways. You might be able to think of some more, and that's great. But I want to make this statement kind of at the front end of the message today, that technology itself is not inherently bad. Technology is not inherently bad, but rather it's the intent of the user or the creator that gives it its value, that defines whether or not it's good or bad. I'll say it like this. In other words, technology is a tool, and its value depends largely on how you and I use it. Technology is a tool that its value depends largely on how you and I use it. So we're going to look at the Bible. All right, you all came to church today. You're like, all right, when's he going to talk about the Bible? It's right now. Okay, we're going to talk about the Bible. We're going to look in Scripture. Really honestly, we're going to look at the very beginning of Scripture. And we're going to take out a couple examples to kind of illustrate what I just said. All right, so we're going to look at the good. All right, the good ways that technological advances were used in biblical times. All right, one example right here is very obvious. The good, the ark, right? Well, you're like, what in the world? How is that technology? All right, well, here it is. God told Noah to build an ark, and then he told him how to do it, right? And it was God's mercy and his grace. He saw a world gone wrong, people making terrible choices, living completely immoral lives, and he was like, that's it. I'm going to end it all. And then he said, no, wait, I'm just going to start over. And he found Noah, and he told him to build an ark. Well, this is what he said to do. He said, build a large boat of cypress wood and waterproof it. Well, how in the world are you going to waterproof something back then? One, just a little side note, like there wasn't like a large amount of rain. Things really didn't need to be waterproofed at that time, right? Like moisture came up from the ground. You can read more about this. Moisture came up and it gave the world the moisture it needed for plants and things to grow and survive, right? So like waterproofing was kind of a wild idea. And then God said, hey, waterproof the boat with tar on the inside and out. So what's the tech advance here? It's tar. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but it's tar. Like waterproofing and holding things together. Like think about this. Like how wild would it be if you were the one that discovered you could do that with tar? Like that would be crazy. Like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think of some like old biblical name for like a wife, but I can't right now. Like, hey, honey, look at this. Look what I did together. Whoa, man, it holds it together and it keeps the water out. That's amazing, right? Like that's a big deal. And so God said, use this thing called tar and keep it waterproof and hold it together on the inside and the out. And these are God's instructions to Noah. So obviously he wanted Noah to use technology. The good is the tech, which is the tar, was used to save. The good is the tech was used to save. Now let's look at the opposite. How many of you have ever heard of the story of the Tower of Babel, right? All right, Tower of Babel, less people than the Ark. That's okay. You can find the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. You can read more about that. Essentially, people were trying to come together to make themselves a name greater than God, right? And so they had this idea in Genesis chapter 11, verse 3. By the way, if you're wanting to write down a reference for the good, you can write Genesis 6, 14. But Genesis chapter 11, verse 3 is where the Tower of Babel is talked about. And this is what it says. It says, they began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. And then the writer, the author, puts in parentheses, in this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. The same kind of technology, the same kind of tool, the same kind of thing was used in both scenarios. But in this scenario, the people were focused on rejecting God and making a name for themselves. So in this scenario, the tech, which is the tar, was used to reject. The tech was used to reject, right? I know, I am a poet, right? Easy to remember, the tech was used to reject. How you use determines its value. How you use it determines its value. So real life example here at Crossroads, right? Real life example. We are streaming online right now, all right? There are people watching from I don't even know where, but they're watching online. And they watch online every week. But did you know that we have not always done the streaming online thing? It wasn't until 2020 when COVID happened, we were all like, we were talking about it, and then we were like, now we got to do it, all right? We got to go online. We have to record. We have to stream. We have to start jumping into that world. And since we've done that, you've heard Pastor Craig talk about this before a little bit, but I kind of want to give you kind of the macro view of it, like the big view of it. Like he says around here every once in a while, he'll say like, on average, one person a week gives their life to Jesus online. Right? Well, we've been doing that since 2020-ish, right? And so every week, at least one person has given their life to Jesus online. Well, to kind of give you the big picture, that is, if we're just generous with the numbers and we don't go back 4 years, let's go back just 3, I can tell you that more than 300 people have given their lives to Jesus because we use technology to be online. That means, if you don't get excited about that, like, because I know some of you are very excited, but just for others, let me put it in this phrase. Over 300 people are going to experience heaven because we use technology here at Crossroads Church, right? And so can you get excited about that a little bit, church? Come on. So if we use technology well, if we steward it well, great things happen. People come to know Jesus that may not have otherwise. When we talk about technology, I think when we try to navigate the world of technology, I think it's important to ask ourselves some questions, right? Because how does technology work in your life and in my life? There are some things. We talked about negative impacts, right? And so we want to make sure that we don't fall into that world of being negatively impacted by technology. Technology is a tool that God has given us to use. Like, God is responsible for the creation of everything. And he created us, and we created this thing called technology. He saw it happen before it even happened. And so he's not caught off guard by any of this. He's not. So we have to then be responsible in how we determine how to use the tool that he's given us. Does that make sense? And so we're going to navigate that. We're going to talk about four questions this morning that we need to be asking ourselves when it comes to technology. The four questions, I'll give them to you right at the top, and then we'll break each of them down. But the four questions are, why do I want to use this? What's the goal of its creators? How is it impacting me? And then what are healthy practices? Why do I want to use it? What's the goal of its creators? How's it impacting me? And what are healthy practices? All right, so let's talk about this first question. Why do I want to use technology? Well, in other words, this is what we'll say. What's your motivation? What is your motivation behind your desire to use technology in your life? Remember, the value of the tech is dependent on nobody else but you. It's dependent on you and how we use it. So I think when we talk about this in this space of technology, I think a lot of times we're actually talking a lot about social media. Let's talk about social media for a second. Whether it's for you trying to figure out how to use it yourself, or maybe are you a parent in the room? Any parents in the room, right? And your kids are like, hey, like, can I have Instagram? Or can I have Snapchat? Or can I get on this app? And whether it's for yourself or it's for your kids, and you're trying to figure out a good time to allow them to be on social media, I think it's important to ask yourself the motivations behind that. And so these are just very simply Googled, what are some motivations for social media usage, okay? Here are some. Connection, communication, and belonging. News and information. Expression and influence. Entertainment. And networking and professional growth. How many of you? We're gonna do a poll, an audience poll by hand raise only. Okay, how many of you would say like, hey, yeah, I use social media for connection, communication, and belonging. And the belonging word makes it sound ooh, okay. But okay, so okay, that's good. How about news and information? Social media for news and information. Just be honest. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I got two hands over here. Same guy, all right? So that's great. How about expression and influence? Like, you love to use social, you use social media to express yourself, or maybe this, yeah, if this is you, it's probably not bad for you to raise, like, you're not leery of raising your hand. Like, okay, that's good. All right, networking and professional growth. Okay, that's good too. Yeah, that's where people are. And so if you're there, you can network with them. You can grow your profession, or you can spread your vision for your business or a business that you'd like to start, right? Or find new connections to get into another area, another field, right? So none of these motivations are bad. I don't think that God looks at these motivations and says, you better watch out for that one. That is terrible. I can't believe, no, I don't think that that's what's going on here. Where I think we get ourselves in trouble is when we depend on any one of these to fill whatever cup we're trying to fill. And we remove our dependence on God, we remove our dependence on the resources, the tools, the people that he's put around us, and we just go all in. Okay, my connection, the thing that's gonna fill my connection, community, and belonging cup is gonna be social media. Like, that's where we get ourselves into problems. That's where we get ourselves into trouble. Have you guys ever heard of the seven deadly sins, right? I didn't know this, but the seven deadly sins are originate from the Roman Catholic Church. I didn't know that. You learn something new, right? So the seven deadly sins, can anybody name them off, right? I'm not gonna give you time to do it. Okay, all right. But I think you're on the right track, all right? Lust, gluttony, greed, laziness, anger, envy, pride. And yes, I changed sloth to laziness. Some of you are like, sloth is what it is. Well, I think it's kind of similar. But I think here's a cool thing to do. Think about them through the world of social media or your apps on your phone. Or resources that you have that you use a device for, okay? So what represents lust in our app world? Tinder, all right? That would be the one, Tinder, okay? What about gluttony? DoorDash and Uber Eats, right? Like DoorDash and Uber Eats. Okay, what about greed? Oh, come on, how many of you got that Amazon on your recently opened apps, you know, Amazon, okay? Some of you are honest enough to raise your hand. I love this. Okay. What about laziness or sloth? Laziness or sloth? Okay, how about Netflix? All right, or any other of your streaming apps? But did I hear somebody say TikTok? TikTok? How many of you, like, you are, I'm going to say this, I might get in trouble. Like, you're taking care of business and you're just swiping through TikTok. Like, and before long, you're like, oh my goodness, I've been in here for hours. All right, no, like that's probably a little extreme, but yeah, you like are swiping through reels on Instagram or Facebook, and you're just like, oh my goodness, I've been doing this for how long, you know? And the kids are screaming, your husband's like, where in the world have you been? Your wife's like, are you serious? You take that long in there, and you're doing what? Right? Yeah, you know, it's just like sloth, laziness, right there, TikTok, all those things. Okay, how about anger? X. Formerly known as Twitter, right? That cracks me up every time I'm watching something. They're like, X, formerly known as Twitter. Every time it's like, we all know, I feel like, that it is now X. You don't have to say formerly known as Twitter. It's like they are just hanging on a little bit longer. Envy, Instagram, right? Like an app created so you can post pictures of your life and people can look at them, right? And so you only post the highlights. You're not going to post the low lights, right? So you post the highlights and you're like, man, that person's life is so good. They have, like, they're doing this again, and I can't do it once. They're going to Disney for, like, the 13th time this year, you know? And I haven't been ever, you know? It's like it creates a desire to want what they have. And then pride, LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn. Listen, I'm not on LinkedIn. Maybe I should be. I don't know. But I know a lot of people, that's what they use. You use LinkedIn to grow your professional growth, to be more desirable in the business world. And so a lot of times we take that too far and it becomes a pride thing. Like, I got to get all of these things. Even if I was only doing it for a second and it didn't turn out well, I'm going to put it on my LinkedIn because it makes me more marketable, right? Again, I don't think any of these things, any of these reasons are bad in and of themselves, but you have to ask yourself, what's your motivation? What's your motivation for using technology? The second question that we have to ask ourselves when we're navigating the world of technology is this: what's the goal of its creator? What's the goal of its creator? Let me tell you a story. In 2011, three Stanford students, Evan Spiegel, Bobby Murphy, and Reggie Brown all had a class together. And they were working on a project for this class, and it was based around this idea of developing a way to share photos. They wanted to develop an app that enabled people to send photos to others they knew that they knew would disappear after a set amount of time, ultimately encouraging the sharing of the kinds of photos that you don't want to live on. The app first launched a little bit after 2011, and it was called Peekaboo. But after some difficulty with trademark issues, they landed on the name Snapchat. I think I'm about to say some things that could really ruffle some feathers, and I don't really intend to, especially with the age group that I serve here at Crossroads. But I want to say these things, and I want you to know my heart. I'll just say them. I care deeply about young people. Too much to not say these things. And I would say this on a Sunday night too. And I'm pretty sure I have said something along these lines. It's very important that you know the intent of the creator of the app when you allow your kids to have that app. Because the intent lives on and through, right? And what was God's intent for you when he created us? For us to live in community with him and each other, right? For us to have relationship with him. And so that lives through on in creation in its entirety. Like, we don't go away from that. I think that it's important that we understand these things about when creators create their app. I get very leery of encouraging people to use apps that encourage, or maybe at the very onset, encourage illicit behavior as their motivation. I do. I'm not saying, like, if you have Snapchat, you need to delete it. I'm not saying that. I would say, hey, think about this question. What was the intent? What's the intent of the app's creator in creating that app? I think beyond that, we could look at, why do people create these things? Well, I mean, come on, they want to make some money. They want to make some money. They want to grow their influence. They want to make some money. And so you might be sitting here like, well, these social media apps, these apps on my phone, they're free, right? They're free. Has anybody ever seen Social Dilemma? The network's documentary called Social Dilemma. If you haven't seen it, I did look this up because I was really fearful that today I was going to say, hey, go watch Social Dilemma, and then it wouldn't be on Netflix anymore. And you're like, what in the world? But it is still on Netflix. It's a Netflix original documentary, and it essentially breaks down the dilemma that social media has created in the world, in society. It's really eye-opening. I remember sitting it, and I just, like, my mouth was like this the whole time. Like, just, oh my God, I'm deleting my phone. I'm throwing my phone out. There's no hope, right? But you have to, hey, it's a tool. Its value is determined by me. You have to keep it in that mindset. Well, if you have seen the movie, you might be familiar with this name, Daniel Haverman, who is big in the tech industry. He has this quote: if you're not paying for the product, if you're not paying for the app, then you are the product. If you're not paying for it, then you are the product. So, most everything that you see on your device as you scroll is curated with you in mind. The algorithms, right? Like, why am I seeing this? Well, because you might have hung out too long on this image or this post, or maybe you accidentally clicked on that ad, right? How many, you're scrolling on your newsfeed and, like, your thumb hangs out way too long on one as you swipe it up and you're like, oh my gosh, how did I get there? You know, like, you get out of it real quick. Well, then you start seeing more ads for these things. Like, I don't want a gazebo for my backyard because I have an apartment. You know, like, I don't have an apartment, but, like, that might be your story. Like, and it's because that algorithm is curating things for you to see that you would be interested in. And so the longer you're able to stay in that app, the more money that these app creators are able to make because of the advertisements they're able to pull in to capture your attention. There's another book that we read as a staff here. It's called Stolen Focus by Johan Yari. It's really great. I don't have any quotes from the book, but if you want to learn more about this, like the intent is to steal your focus away. Like he talks about that, not just in the technology world or not the app world or social media world, but just technology as a whole. And you should look at this book, listen to it. I believe it's an audiobook. If you're an audiobook person, you can listen to it that way. But it deep dives into like what happens when your focus is stolen onto the things that these app creators want you to be looking at. Knowing the intent of the creator gives you an idea of how, of the value or the intent of the app. All right, third question that we got to look at. How is it impacting me? How is it impacting me? According to Jonathan Haidt, author of Anxious Generation, in 2012, Americans began to experience a spike in anxiety, depression, and overall mental health issues. There's a couple slides that they're just gonna go back and forth on the screen with. And it just kind of details, gives you an idea of what he saw in his research. If you wanna put those slides up real quick. Oh, they were there. There it is. All right, so this shows us percent of US anxiety prevalence. Right, and you see about 2012 is when those numbers started to go up in pretty much every age bracket except for ages 50 and up because they have more experience in life and they are way ahead of the game, okay? So like in every one of these things, though, we start seeing it go up. Can you go to the next slide? Because this also does this. Percent of U.S. undergrads diagnosed with a mental illness. Do you see where that starts as well? 2012 is when we see that begin to go up as well. Well, what happened in the early 2010s? The rise of smartphones, right? And by 2012, we've had about 2 years where mobile apps or mobile device apps were that would allow you to more easily navigate your social media content were now kind of a staple. By 2012, they've been out for at least 2 years, you being able to get on your mobile device on a mobile app and navigate and post and read and swipe and all these things. By that time, most everybody with a smartphone was able to access social media on that smart device in a way that made sense. Like how many of you remember, like you could get on Facebook, but you had to like go to your browser on the phone. You had to go to the browser and it wasn't intuitive. But now mobile apps made it all intuitive, meaning it was easier for you to stay on it longer. And so what he is saying is, you know, the thing that caused this, a contributing factor has to be the relationship between social media usage. There has to be a relationship between social media usage and mental health. How does it impact you? Okay, let me say it like this. If you feel like this is how you get community by how you use technology, can I tell you that the enemy tries to give a false promise? Like we see this in the story of Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. What did the devil do? He tried to come along, and the very last thing was, if you worship me, I will give you this, right? Well, the enemy can't promise you anything. The enemy can't promise you. They're counterfeit promises. You feel when you're on social media and you're working through like your community and your connections, you start to feel a false sense of community. The enemy brings in this counterfeit community. You are designed to do community with each other. With each other, face-to-face interaction. And when we substitute an online community, there are things that lack, that we don't get, that we need, that we're created for. It's a counterfeit community, a counterfeit connection. It can add on, but it can't be the only thing because we fall short and we don't live life the way that God created us to. Your supercomputer in your pocket has literally changed your relationship with society. Now, do I believe that you can use social media and technology and all that stuff and not have the same and it not have the same impact on you as the generation, the general population? Yeah, I do. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Psalms 139. Sorry, I said that way wrong. Psalm 139. All right. We have to allow God to search our heart. David writes this. I've talked about it before in here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. We have to ask God to keep ourselves self-aware. We have to ask ourselves this question, how is it impacting me? We have to ask God the question, give him permission. Hey, God, point out the ways that this is negatively impacting me and then help me fix it. Help me fix it because I want to live according to your will for my life and I can't do that. Good, you find it. I can't do that if I'm steeped in this world of social media. I can't do that well. Am I feeling anxious? Am I comparing myself to others? Do I feel discontent after scrolling? You have to be honest with yourself. And then after you ask yourself that question, ask yourself this one. What are healthy practices? What are healthy practices? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says this in verse 23. Said, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. And then he actually said something very similar just a few chapters earlier in his letter to the Corinth church. He says in verse 12 of chapter 6, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So what are the healthy practices that you need to create in your life so that you don't become a slave to these things, to the world that technology has to offer you? How do we do that? Very simply put, we set up guardrails. Set up guardrails. And I'm just gonna go through four of them. There's probably more, but these are four that hit pretty solidly. Screen time limits. These are very pragmatic things. Like, you can do these things. Screen time limits. If you have a kid with a phone, all right, these are awesome. If you know yourself and you know, I get on this app and it just takes my attention for gobs of time, and I don't like that and I want to defeat that, set up a screen time limit for yourself. Actually, we had a former student do this, and she knew that if she created a passcode that she knew, she would just put in the passcode and bypass the screen time limit. So what she did was she asked my wife, hey, you create the passcode and you hang on to it. So after I'm at the limit of 15 minutes or 30 minutes on Instagram a day, I can't just be like, okay, bypass this and then get back on Instagram. So Ashley knew the passcode. She did not know the passcode. And it was so cool. That's understanding where you're at, knowing how it impacts you, and then taking steps to defeat it. That's wild, but that's self-aware. So set up screen time limits. Time of day rules. Time of day rules. No phones before this hour in the morning, or no technology before this hour in the morning, or at this hour at night. After that, no phones, no technology. A lot of times, I actually have this set up to where I can't get notifications until after a certain amount of time, a certain hour in the morning, and then I stop getting notifications after a certain time at night. I think mine is like 9 p.m. Or something early, like maybe 8 p.m. And so you're able to focus on the people in your life that are important, and you're not getting bombarded by other things. No social media, no text messages, no nothing. All right, so you have time of day guardrail. Accountability software and partners. Hey, listen, let's be honest. There's a whole world of impure things that it's accessible through our smart devices. And if we're not willing, if we know that we have issues with that and we're not willing to put up the guard rail to protect us, there's no way that we're gonna be victorious over it. And so God gives us these tools. I don't know, like I'll just say one that I know of, Covenant Eyes, all right? It's an app that pretty much it monitors all the things that you're looking at, and then it sends a report to somebody, an accountability partner. And I've used it, other people have used it with me as their accountability partner, but it's safeguarding. It's safeguarding yourself from seeing things that are gonna take you to places that you don't wanna go. And then another one, very simply put, charge your device in a different room or not near your bed overnight. I think I used this in a message in here one time. It's like 70% of people, their first look in the morning is on their phone. Their first grab, their first move is to pick up their phone and to look at it. And so you're setting the tone for the rest of your day. What's gonna be the most important? Well, my phone. Like studies say that like every 7 seconds people touch their phone. It's wild. So how about we do this? What if we just started leaving our phone in a different room? Or maybe we only allow phones in a certain room of the house and not allow them in other rooms. We're setting up guardrails in order for us to be victorious in this area of our life. And kind of sum up the whole thing, right? To wrap it up, tie it up in a nice bow. Remember, like I said at the beginning, technology is not bad. It's how we use it that gives it its value. God can use anything, and I think it's our responsibility as Christ followers in today's world to engage culture. Why do I say that it's our responsibility? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, talks about how we are Christ's ambassadors. Pastor Craig talked about this a couple weeks ago. So we ought to be reaching other people to reconcile them back to the Father. How can we do that if we don't engage culture? Well, culture is using technology. We talked about earlier how we use technology as a church and many churches like us in order to reach people and bring them back to Jesus. If we aren't engaging culture, we can't show them Jesus because culture needs Jesus. And if we aren't engaging them, we can't give him to them. So you can make a difference in the world. How? Use technology for redemptive purposes. Redeem the gram, man. Redeem Instagram. Redeem TikTok. If you're gonna use TikTok, man, redeem it. Redeem Facebook. Don't post every thought that comes to your mind. Don't let it seep through your arms into your thumbs and put it out there. If it doesn't build others up, it doesn't belong on your newsfeed, right? Redeem Facebook. Redeem X, formerly known as Twitter. Right? Same thing for Facebook. Man, if it isn't building others up, why do you gotta post it? If all you're doing is critiquing everyone, why do you gotta post it? Now, there is time for truth, but are you partnering it with grace? Are you partnering it with love in what you're posting? Use your iPhone, your Android, or some of you wild people, your Google Pixels to further the kingdom of God. To spread the gospel. Write out your testimony on your notes app so you can share it with others in the moment that God gives you to share it. Because if his desire is for lost people to come to know him, he's gonna set you up, Christ follower, to share your story that will bring people to him. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you using the technology that you have to bring people to Jesus? Last note that I have here, and I want you to, maybe the largest thing for you to take away is when technology advances, the church ought to be there advancing the kingdom with it. I think we discount, we push away from things that we're scared of, we don't engage with it. But God gives us these tools so that we can use them to make sure that people come to know him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the incredible opportunities that we have. As technology advances, people are able to join us today because of advances in technology. from regardless of where they're at. So today, Lord, I ask that you would help us navigate that world of technology that you've given us. Help us to make smart choices. Help us to make choices that honor you and the mission that you've given us to reach people, to bring them to you, to offer people a full life only to be found in you. And give us the ability to make changes so that we have a healthy relationship with technology. And God, we ask that you would help us to turn to you to fill the voids that we have. When the world around us turns to something artificial, you have something real to offer us. Help us to turn to you for wisdom, for guidance, for fulfillment, because only you can give those things that we need. For those of you in the room this morning, or maybe you're watching online and you would say, hey, yeah, Josh, to be honest with you, I know that I am extremely susceptible to allowing artificial things fill gaps in my life. I depend way too much on this stuff. But today I'm gonna make a commitment to do better with the way that I use technology. Or maybe you might be in the room and you would say, hey, I've pushed technology away, and it's because I'm a little fearful. But I wanna stop being fearful, and I'm gonna allow God to use me to redeem these advancements that our world has seen happen with technology. And I want to make that kind of commitment today. If that be you, and you'd like to make that commitment, you just raise your hand across the room. Maybe all of us need to raise our hand and be like, hey, yeah, I'm going to commit to making sure that I don't let technology fill a void that really only Jesus can fill in my life. And I'm going to commit to using it in a wise way and not let it impact me negatively. If that's you, you raise your hand across the room. Maybe others of you this morning, you would say, hey, not only have I been using technology to fill a void, but I continue to do that because I just don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe your call to action is more, your next step is really just to give your life to the Lord. Because he can fill every gap that you have. He can fill every relationship gap, every belonging, everything that you do for a sense of belonging. He can fill those gaps along the way. And you'll live a life that's fulfilling, a life full of calling, a life full of purpose. Something that the world can't give you, but tries to get you to buy into a counterfeit version of what God has for you that's real. So if that's you today and your next step is, hey, I need to give my life to the Lord today. Would you be bold enough to raise your hand just so I know who I'm praying for this morning? You can raise it and you can put it right back down. Anybody in the room or online, if you'd like to make that commitment today, you can just type "I decided" in the chat and one of our online Dream Team members will follow up with you as well to give you next steps. We're gonna pray together this morning, church. And I'd like for all of us to pray together just in case somebody needed to raise their hand, but they didn't for whatever reason. It's not too late. We'll pray together. Mean this in your heart with everything that you have. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I know that I've used my technology to fill a gap it wasn't intended to. And today I make a commitment to give my life to you. Would you fill me up? Would you change me from the inside out? For the rest of my days, the best that I know how, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name.